For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. A lot of texts coming in. Cal needs to come shotgun a beer in the yellow lot with Texan Mojo, shotgun 30. Yeah, there is a tailgate out there, and that's their thing. They shotgun beers. That'd be popular. Cal picks a different tailgate to go to every home game and just shotguns beers with them. It's a good gimmick, man.
I have an unpopular opinion. I'm not a huge fan of the shotgunning beers by athletes. For a while there was like a QB competition of guys chugging beers at sporting events and what have you. There's a part of me. As I get older, I start to get a little uncomfortable with musical lyrics and everything. I'm uncomfortable with it.
Do you think it's irresponsible or do you think it's obnoxious?
It's one of those things. It's kind of like kids don't need to see everything that adults do. You know, it's your role model, and not everything has to be out there.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Right. There's things that I endorse and don't think that are a big deal, and yet I don't like kids who are at a formative age necessarily seeing their role models do it and think that that's what they should emulate.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not the ruination of society or anything like that. I would advise, if I had a brother that was playing or something, maybe you don't want to think about laying off that.
Yeah, you lean that way. Yeah. I got you. Are the Texans the model for a rebuild right now? Here was Colin Cowherd. This was actually a segment they were doing about Bo Nix and Cowherd's buddy Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. But I think it's funny now, especially on a show like Cowherd's, where he was so critical about the Houston Texans pre-D'Amico and pre-CJ, points this out. If you get the QB right, guess who you are?
This is why the NFL is king. If Bo Nix hits, all the Denver problems wash away immediately. It's like the Houston Texans. They were the biggest laughing stock in the league. And now they're the model how to turn a franchise around. Because they got the quarterback right. And they got the coach right. And they just happened to come in the same year.
Texans, now they're the model.
The Texans are the model. And Cowherd's been pretty transparent on his flip-flop on this.
Yes.
Most of the times he talks about it, he talks about what his opinions were a year ago and how wrong he ended up being and all of that. I think that if Bo Nix hits, do they become the Houston Texans? I guess if Sean Payton... I think Saints fans might say, well, okay, what do you mean by hits necessarily? Is he Drew Brees? That's a pretty high bar to clear. So I feel like it's a pretty big if.
Yeah.
And it's not rocket science that, in the NFL, the quarterback is king, and you're kind of, it's really hard to sustain a long stretch of success without a really good quarterback. Is Sean Payton the guy that's also going to, at his age, you know, actually have a good defense, do all those, some of the things that he struggled to do with the Saints for years. And they ended up the last few years he was there having good defenses. But critically, in years where he's not also putting bounties out on people's
right,
heads,
right.
That's and ACLs. That's can he do it without a bounty? I don't know.
Does the way that gets framed, like, hey, man, you get the quarterback right, you get the coach right, everything else goes away. Does that diminish, or is it disrespectful to the other things that the team has done to put themselves in this position?
Well, no, I think it also, we talked about this earlier, it's also the GM. Yeah. It's just, and is Sean Payton, I mean, is Sean Payton the actual GM? And in New Orleans, it always felt like, yeah, Mickey Loomis did some really good things, but ultimately it was Sean Payton calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the GM in Denver, whose name escapes me right now.
George Payton.
Thank you. George Payton. That's why it's confusing. I don't know how well he and George Payton actually get along, so that's the big X factor there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point with you're right, because D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, to this point, have gotten along really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think the thing with Caserio and D'Amico that I liked from the get-go is that I don't think either of them has a huge ego,
mm-hmm.
whereas Sean Payton has a gigantic ego, just a massive, looms larger than the sun ego, which is fine if you're really good at it and if you got the guy who you think is the right GM, or does he become a little bit more like the version of Bill O'Brien if he does? So Mickey Loomis was the right guy with the Saints for what Sean Payton needed. If George Payton's not the guy that Sean Payton can work with and the guy that he needs, then no, they've not found the magical elixir.
It was funny, dude, at the night practice the other day, the Sunday evening practice, I think we saw Nick get angry for maybe mm-hmm. the first time since he's been here. Like, I can't remember one time, either in an interview or in a press conference. Like, we've seen him get maybe a little agitated in press conferences and whatnot, but like visibly angry about something, and it was when they were doing kickoff drills. You know, they were doing the new kickoff and everything where the ball has to land in a landing area, and whoever was handling the machine that shoots the kickoff up into the air, like, you know, that they
it was up.
It was like a drunk person blindfolded shooting at things. Yeah, dude, it was landing short of the landing area. It was landing out of bounds. It was, and Nick is standing by himself in the end zone, and you can see his mouth moving, and he's looking over at people, and he's writing stuff down, and you can see like his body is moving like very animatedly. Like,
I feel like it's like an officer watching an inept artillery squad,
dude.
Just like, right,
so
like
funny.
He's just thinking like, what the hell's going on? He couldn't contain it. Like he's trying to maintain. He's trying to maintain it. He should have a lieutenant go handle it or something, but he just can't help it.
Dude.
He's got to go get that guy's going to get somebody killed. This idiot artillery dude is going to get somebody killed, and
right.
It's going to be one of our own guys.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, you can just see Nick, like, in his mind, like, he's probably got each practice, like, mapped out to the minute here. And I know D'Amico's the one who runs the practices, but I'm sure Nick has input and he knows what the game plan is, and Nick's probably sitting there like, man, we got this clown shooting this ball here, and we're burning daylight. Like, this drill's almost over.
We're wasting reps because we can't get this machine right.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was really funny.
Did he tear off the guy's insignia? Did he go up and like ripped his epaulette off or whatever?
Chug's machine patch off of his shirt. Here's one more from Cowherd. Here's Cowherd on the very question Seth was talking about. Can Bo Nix make the Broncos the Texans?
Think about the Russell Wilson Denver deal. Just think about what this franchise did. Gave up a ton of draft capital, good picks. They paid a fortune. They whiffed on their head coaching hire, like badly whiffed. They were in cap hell in a division with Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's not a good spot to be in. So they hire Sean Payton. And they right the ship. They get Russell Wilson to be the best version of what he can be. They kind of right the offense as much as they can. And if Bo Nix hits, they're the Texans. All the stuff disappears. You've got a quarterback you're not paying anything to. It'll clean up your cap. You'll be winning games. And everybody will forget about it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a huge if.
It's a huge if.
It's just a big if. It's a big if. It's more of a... Well, for one, we know that Coward's tight with Sean Payton.
Yeah.
But it's almost more of just like a philosophical platitude that, yeah, okay, if your quarterback hits and you got a good head coach, you're going to be in a much better position than the laughingstock that the Broncos have become over the course of the past decade.
Yeah,
Broncos fans finally, before they, the Sean Payton hire was the first W that the Broncos had gotten in a while, and it was interesting because it also came when they, I think they actually wanted D'Amico Ryans,
100%.
But they whiffed on D'Amico Ryans.
Yes.
If they hadn't gotten Sean Payton, they may have indeed hired David Culley himself because they were kind of out over their skis by that point.
Yep.
So it does. It goes to show you just how much those moves matter. It's one simple thing, but it's really, really hard to do. You look at the Colts. The Colts have done a lot of things perfectly right over the last decade, except for that one big thing, the quarterback.
Yep.
They've managed the roster so well that they've prevented themselves from becoming a laughingstock, and yet they just haven't been able to figure out the quarterback. And so far, Anthony Richardson doesn't look so hot this year. But that's I wish I could really delight in that, but it is. It's one preseason game of a guy coming off of a surgery.
Yeah.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But also, Anthony Richardson has never actually been a good quarterback.
He's never been a good thrower of the football. Like, he's got a super strong arm, but man, he's the kickoff machine guy. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he can do it. Like, yes, spare me your highlight throws that he makes from time to time.
Yeah.
It's how well does he do it consistently?
Yep.
And he hasn't done it consistently in his college and NFL career.
All right, Seth, here's a good one for you, newly minted gambler. Is betting on the Texans to lead the league in sacks a good idea? I know Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter will eat, but what about the rest of the defense?
I don't think it's an idiotic bet whatsoever. I mean, I would just say to lead the league in anything is always...
There can only be one.
Yeah. The field is always stronger than any given team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good pass rushing teams out there. But it's not a stupid bet whatsoever.
The Texans,
I think it's very attainable.
Total, I saw Jimmy Shapiro actually sent out an email with total sack numbers for all 32 teams. And the Texans were a little further down the list than I thought they would be just based on all the fervor over the pairing of Hunter and Will Anderson. But I think their total number of sacks for this season was 47.5. And I'm like, that feels a little light, honestly. Like, That's three a game.
The one thing I'm concerned about with D'Amico Autry is if you want to be genuinely elite, like the losing D'Amico Autry for six games wasn't the end of the world or anything, end of the world or anything, because they have a good framework in place just with those two edge rushers, not to mention Derek Barnett or anybody else. But the one thing you do have to keep in mind is that D'Amico Autry last year had a very productive season, but also now in the offseason got pinched for PEDs. And it was a mix-up with the pharmacy, whatever is his explanation for it. I don't know how long the mix-ups with the pharmacies were going or anything, but he was 33 years old last year and got 11.5 sacks, his career high. And I just don't know. I can't in good faith say that he couldn't have potentially been taking whatever he was taking during last season. Now, he had been making, like, it's, I don't want to get too married to the sack numbers because there's a little bit of luck involved with that always.
Sure.
He had 8 sacks the year before. He had 9 sacks the year before that. His TFLs have been in the double digits a couple times in the last 3 years. So it's not like all of a sudden he took this huge leap or anything. But whenever a 33-year-old has a really good season and then gets popped for PEDs, I worry about it a little bit more than when some guy that's still in his physical prime gets popped for.
That makes sense. All right, let's circle back to the Astros. The biggest problem for the Astros all year now looks like, man, everything is coming up roses. We will discuss that coming up next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.